Hello and welcome back everyone to the XCast X-Miles Podwatch episode 56. This is covering the season 5 episodes, the big two-parter, Patient X and the Red and the Black. I am Tony Black, which is convenient, actually, given the episode name, your host today. And joining me for this Podwatch episode is Amy Walker. I think back for your second go-around on the Podwatch, Amy.
Yeah, that's right. It's my second go.
And previously you did, was it, I think it was Teleco, wasn't it? Teleco and Unruhe.
Yes. Yeah, two very interesting episodes.
Unruhe. I'm not a big fan of Teleco, but Unruhe is very good. Very creepy one. We're not so much in the creepy zone, but we're in the mythology zone for this two-parter. So we'll kick off and we'll start with the first one, because this obviously is a two-part story, so it's a big interconnected story, and it's one of the linchpin stories, really, of the mythology and of the fifth season. So Patient X was the first one of the two, which written by Chris Carter and Frank Spotnitz, directed by Kim Manners, the 13th episode of season 5. And by now, this is a pretty solid unit. This is in the run-up to the movie, the first movie. You've got Carter and Spotnitz pretty much at the top of their game in terms of the mythology, which they've been building for the last few seasons together. And Kim Manners by now is, you know, the director guy. You know, he's the big cheese. So this two-part episode introduces some interesting new players. You've got the mysterious rebel alien race, which appears to be attacking former abductees who have been collecting in various places. And this leads Mulder and Scully to the mysterious Cassandra Spender and her son Jeffrey Spender, who's also an FBI agent, introduced for the first time. And this is, when you look at it, actually, in terms of the big storyline, Amy, this is a pretty big episode, isn't it, really?
Yeah, there's a lot of elements that come in here which shape quite a bit of the series going forward.
Yeah, because you've got, obviously, a lot of it's a big callback to Scully's abduction, because it goes back to Skylar Mountain and Dwayne Barry, and, you know, we go back to Skylar Mountain, where Scully was abducted in season 2's Dwayne Barry and Ascension. So it calls back to that. You've got the whole idea of, you know, this implant in her neck sort of almost acting as a beacon, you know, some sort of transmitter, sort of drawing her towards a specific place, which is really interesting. Given that everything that's happened in the last, like, big chunk of mythology with the chip being removed and Scully's cancer, and, you know, she's been getting over that, and now this sort of moves things back a little bit, calls back to season 2, and then adds in some of the big key new elements that going forward sort of wrap up the myth arc. I mean, the big one in terms of character being Jeffrey Spender, played by Chris Owens, who is this a spoiler, Amy, if we tell them who he's the son of?
Well, the show was on quite a few years ago. I think if they haven't figured it out by now or watched it, they listen to a podcast, it can be spoiled.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's of course the son of the cigarette smoking man. Although we don't quite know that yet. We'll save that for part two. But we do find that out in The Red and the Black. Yes, we do. We'll put a pin in that, because we don't quite see him yet. But because, of course, at this stage, the cigarette smoking man is dead. He was shot at the end of Redux 2. Although I'm sure, like, when we were watching this, I don't know about you, I don't think any of us thought he was dead, did we? Really?
Well, he is too good a character to kill off, but the series has done that before with Deep Throat and Mr. X, that it wasn't completely out of the question that he might have been gone.
I guess so. As it turns out, he's proved extremely difficult to kill off.
Oh, yeah.
At all, subsequently. But yeah, I think we were all, secretly. I know I was secretly hoping he was still alive, but there you go. Anyway, we'll get to him. Firstly, you've got Jeffrey, who's, he's a bit obstructive, isn't he, really, in this episode. He's one of those characters who comes in and he just causes Mulder, especially, quite a bit of strife, doesn't he?
Yeah, and you can't help but feel bad for Mulder, especially as, at this point, he doesn't believe in aliens anymore. He doesn't want anything to do with it. And Spender comes in saying, "Leave my mum alone." And Mulder's like, "Well, yeah, I want to." It's very much like, yeah, just give me the chance to, buddy. Blame Scully, you know.
Well, this is it. This is what's interesting, isn't it, about Mulder at this stage? Because he's not a believer anymore. This is that chunk of story where, I mean, I suppose it's something that, you know, was never going to last very long. The whole idea that Mulder stops believing in aliens and stops believing in the conspiracy as it was. But all the events of Gethsemane and Redux, you know, believing the lie, as it were. Although, did he? I mean, you know, when you look at the season 10 story, there's the suggestion that maybe this was the truth after all. I don't know. Anyway, but at this stage, he's, yeah, he stopped believing in all of the normal alien stuff he's believed in for years, and he doesn't want anything to do with it. And I think that's a really interesting arc for Mulder, and it ends at the end of The Red and the Black, and he comes to believe again. But it's a good storyline, and like you say, he doesn't really... if anything, he's trying to disprove Cassandra Spender, who, of course, is Jeffrey's mother, and she's one of the she turns up as a major abductee, talking about how the aliens are here to save them and are here for good reasons, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But he's trying to sort of debunk that, isn't he, really?
Yeah, it's very much him and Scully have swapped places in this storyline.
Yeah, because she feels like she's got more of a reason to believe now, I suppose. You know, especially with, like we say, the transmitter and the pulsing thing in the neck and all this stuff. She's experienced enough that she can't turn around and say, yeah, it's rubbish. It's not true. It's not true, Mulder. You're talking rubbish. Mm-hmm. And he's more likely, he's at the point now where he's like, look, it's not what you think it is. These abductions are government, you know, nefarious human men conducting experiments on women and all this thing. It's not aliens. And Scully's a bit like, well, maybe it is. Maybe it's aliens. At this stage. Do you believe that, though? Do you believe that we've got to a point where she's a little bit more open to this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think, obviously, later on, she's fully on board and thinks completely that aliens exist. I think this sort of stage is where that begins with her. And I don't think she's open to everything in the way Mulder is. I think certain ideas of genetic mutants still make her shake her head and go, no, that's impossible. But the idea that there are aliens is definitely something she thinks of now, I think.
And it doesn't quite kick in, I suppose, until the eighth season, where she fully starts to believe, you know. But these kind of episodes are good sort of place, you know, waypoints for her starting to come to believe in more. And obviously you've got that final cliffhanger image of the, you know, the alien rebels who are coming to burn everyone, and she's looking up at the UFO that's over the bridge and everything like that. So there's plenty of good alien Scully stuff in this one, building towards that. But there's also the stuff in Russia as well. There's also that stuff going on, because this is also a bit of a sequel to Tunguska and Terma in season 4. So we get Krychek back. Hey, rat boy. and Marita Kovarubius. And this is where these two, you know, start. Because by this point, we know that Marita Kovarubius is a bad guy, in quotes. She's in with the syndicate. And she's over in Russia because the Russians are getting close to developing a vaccine for the black oil. So you've got Krychek in the middle of all that. You know, he's lost an arm now. He's armless. Not only in the arm sense of the word, not as a person. He's still lethal. But he's now trying to sort of bargain, isn't it? This is classic Krychek, isn't it, really? Bargaining for his life and for, you know, trying to get something out of all this.
Yeah, he's very duplicitous and will double cross anyone. And yeah, it's that moment where you find out him and Marita are kind of in on it together after the beginning. It's like, yeah, okay, that's not that much of a surprise, because he'd make bargains with anyone, and it's very him, that you never know who he's with or against, because it shifts so often.
Yeah, that's what I always liked about him. You know, I always liked the fact he was kind of in it for himself. And you get a lot of good Krychek scenes here. I mean, I totally sort of believe... It's a shame they didn't kind of do more with him and Marita. Because I kind of believe that. I thought they're both, you know, she's a bit of a tart. He's a bit of a slippery one. They kind of fit each other. So this is, I suppose, kind of the only two episodes where they really get much to do together, particularly. So it's a shame they didn't really do more with that. I suppose they do in Requiem as well, but it's more of an ensemble thing there. So it's not quite as good as this. But it's good, that stuff on the flip side, you know, with the well manicured man involved as well and everything like this, and the you know, the whole idea that the Russians are maybe beating the syndicate to this, and they're getting something which they're, you know, they need to control. So it's got a lot going on, this episode. It's got the good character stuff, it's good setup, basically. It's got a good lot of mythology running through, it's got the black oil, it's got these new faceless rebels, and yeah, it's building. It's building to an interesting point. So then The Red and the Black is the Flipside episode, the one, the concluding part. I mean, I don't think this is maybe quite as good as Patient X. I think in terms of episode quality, it's again, you know, the same kind of people, Chris Carter and Frank Spartnitz, although Chris Carter directed this one, not Kim Manners. So it looks good. You know, Chris Carter always brings a good directorial eye to things. But I don't know. I don't know about you, Amy. I don't think this is as good an episode overall as Patient X.
Yeah, I rewatched them both earlier, and the first part felt like it had a lot more going on in it from a pacing point of view. The second part, it kind of felt like there was a number of times, because it had been a while since I'd seen it, where it's like, oh, well, this is where the episode's going to end. Oh, wait, there's more. And it just kind of, it felt a bit slow and plodding, where that first part was very snappy, and it kind of lacked a little something, I think.
I think there's just a little bit of element of them needing to put lots of, like, things in place, you know, like, just... They needed to get to a certain point with certain of these characters, you know. They needed to get Mulder back to the point where he's believing in aliens again. They needed to get the well-manicured man and Krycek together, because then that leads into the end where Krycek's back working with the syndicate. They needed to put Krycek back with the syndicate. They needed to set up what was going on with the Black Oil. They needed to introduce the Faceless Rebels. They needed to put Scully under the hypnosis by Dr. Heitz-Werber, who's a nice callback to the pilot, because that guy was in the pilot episode as Mulder's childhood, or earlier in his life, the psychologist who worked with him about Samantha. So it's... There's lots of little things like that. You know, you've got to introduce Jeffrey Spender as, you know, as a new kind of internal antagonist. And then, of course, you've got the Smoking Man back, which is the reveal, you know, it's the top and tail reveal. It's that opening sort of, you know, the classic sort of X-Files opening pre-credit sequence where, always in the mythology, there's always something that's disconnected from the storyline right now, and they always add in a new element. And in this one, it's the mysterious guy in the shack addressing a letter to the FBI. And then at the end... It's Smokey. He's alive. Which is a good reveal, but, you know. And obviously we know that he's now Spender's father, so the Smoking Man has a son. So there's lots to introduce. There's a lot going on. And it suffers a little bit from that sort of domino effect, I guess. But there is some interesting stuff in here. It is a good episode, nonetheless. I still enjoy it. I do like the stuff that's done with Scully. I mean, what did you think of the hypnosis scene? I mean, I think it's pretty well done overall.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think it is possibly one of the nicer scenes of the two episodes, for showing the relationship between Mulder and Scully, because I felt that even before they went in, Mulder was still unsure about believing in this stuff again. But as soon as Scully started having that experience, you could see the care he had for her, like the moment where she reached across to his hand. And I think it's her emotions in that scene that helped reinforce the idea that maybe aliens do exist, rather than the story she told. I think it was her reaction more than anything else that did it.
Definitely. It's kind of what happens to her, you know, through seeing Cassandra being abducted and all of this kind of stuff. It is that one of the triggers for him, really. And I think it's good for Scully, because it continues the story of the abduction. And, you know, it's something that one of the good things they do in the X-Files consistently is the after effects of what happened to Scully in season two. You know, that really weaves through the entire show, really, even up until now, you know, until the new series. You know, there's still, even in My Struggle 2, there was stuff that was linked back to that in a way. So it's sort of been consistent, and this is a good consistent sort of follow through with that, you know. And she's had hypnosis before, you know, at the start of season three. She's seen Mulder have hypnosis. It's just a good weaving element, and I think that's probably one of the strongest parts. It's really well shot as well. It's got some creepy music by Mark Snow, and I think that stuff is a bit more successful than the all the syndicate stuff, because, to be fair, that's really just a few basic boardroom scenes with quite, you know, stiff dialogue. And what fun as it is that with the well manicured man smacking Krycek down a bit after all, it's just like, well, this is all just a bit, you know, going through the motions a little bit. Although I could watch John Neville, like, as the well manicured man forever, really. He wasn't in it enough for me, but
yeah,
there you go. But it does, you know, it also sort of takes Marita out of the game as well, because she's now, you know, the test case for the vaccine, and the next time we see her, she's quite, you know, haggard. And But yeah, and then you've got, what I do like is that you get a final scene with Krycek and Mulder as well. And they don't get many scenes together over the span of the show, really. If you think about it, except the episodes where they kind of put them together more, they only get maybe one or two scenes a season, really. And I think this is a good one where he's saying to Mulder, look, I'm not your enemy, essentially. I'm trying to, in his own way, help while also making a profit. What did you think of that? Because I thought that was quite interesting, the way he presents himself to Mulder.
No, I did enjoy that scene. I especially liked at the end where he calls him a friend in Russian as well. And it's like, you do kind of feel that in his own kind of twisted way, Krycek does think of him as probably one of his only friends. Like, in a way, can trust Mulder because he knows what Mulder's like. He's not got to worry about him double-crossing him. He can predict what he's going to do. And I think he, in a way, he likes Mulder, so he does actually see him as a friend, as weird and twisted as that is.
Yeah, I think there's something to that, definitely. It's like that whole, you know, Batman-Joker thing, isn't it? It's the flip side of the coin. And you get that, you know, when they were together in Sleepless and Dwayne Barry, you know, as partners, you've got that idea that Krycek is the dark side of Mulder. And, you know, when they do get scenes together in scenes like this, it sort of underscores that, really. And it's nice. I just wish they'd got more to do together sometimes. And when you watch this, it's like, yeah, you know, that would have been really cool, really, if they'd done that. And then, obviously, you know, by the end, all the things are kind of in place for the movie, really. You know, you've got, as I say, you've got Mulder back believing, you've got, well, the end as well. The end, I suppose, is more of a sort of payoff, because then you get more to do with Spender, you get more with the Smoking Man. The movie sort of takes the Black Oil stuff and then, you know, does that and the vaccine and moves that into the new sort of, and the well-manicured man. It sort of leaves Krycek alone, obviously, but the end does that. So I suppose it's the end and Fight the Future both sort of follow on from this, really, in their own ways. So it's a big episode. It's a big two-part episode. It's an important two-part episode. Where would you rank it roughly, Amy, on the scale of mythology episodes? Would you put it, you know, top, middle or bottom, really?
I'd probably put it more in the middle. I think it introduces a lot of really important elements and a lot of really cool elements. But the second part, it just, I was starting to sort of wane towards the end. And the show's done some really great second part episodes in the past. So it kind of felt a bit of a letdown, which brings it down from being really good into the middle for myself.
Yeah, I agree. I'd put it in the roughly in the middle, really. I always enjoy watching it. It's always fun, but it never really, you know, makes my jaw drop or brings a massive emotional reaction out for me, like things like Colony and Endgame do, or you know, some of the other big mythology, or like the excitement of, say, you know, Nisei and 731 with Mulder on the train and that kind of thing. Yeah.
I think because it's doing more world building than anything else, there's not enough room for those action beats that other mythology episodes have. So it's probably just, it's missing out on that. If it had a great action sequence in there as well, it probably would have pushed it higher. But it's bringing so much more content to the universe that it doesn't really have time to do that.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, in any other sort of episode like this, you would have had, like you say, a big action sequence you would have had. But the ending, you know, when you get the alien bounty hunter back, you know, it's Brian Thompson. It's very fleeting. And the ending's really quick. It's really quite rushed, you know, whereas in the old days, you know, you would have had, when you haven't got to cram all the different mythology elements in, you are right. It would have been better. I think it would have worked better in that sense and felt more like a real exciting storyline within the tapestry of the mythology, which the best mythology episodes do. There's always that memorable standout moment, but this doesn't quite have that in the same way. Even though it's good, it's well paced, it's got a lot going on, and Patient X is better. But yeah, it's never one I'd skip. It's always one I'd watch. It's always mythology that I enjoy, you know, seeing again, and it's very important to the show. So yeah, it's a big one. So thanks, Amy, anyway, for coming on back on and doing another pod watch. It's been really nice to podcast with you today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I enjoyed watching the episode and, as always, enjoyed talking about it with you.
Awesome stuff. Well, and sadly, guys, we're not going to be back tomorrow for the next two episodes, which are Travellers and Mind's Eye. But you're in the capable hands of Mr. Darren Mooney and Mr. Chris Knowles. So they will take you through those two very different but very interesting episodes. Obviously, Travellers is, you know, flashbacks, Arthur Dale's, 1950s. I really like that one. It's a good episode. So yeah, you're in safe hands there. So obviously, as ever, just remember that as the Podwatch is going on, you can talk about it. You can say what you thought on Twitter at @X_cast. And on Facebook, we've got the XCast page, and then we've also got the XCast basement, the fan group. So please join that. We've got a few hundred members. We've got loads of X-Files chatter, especially as we edge even closer to the premiere of season 11. So join in and, you know, join in the X-Files fun, and that'd be great to see you in there. So, yeah, we'll be back tomorrow for brand new X-Files. But until then, remember, trust no one.